Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Marvel or DC? Now, to some of you, I just asked a question with made-up words. But to others, I asked a question that needs further consideration in terms of comic books. Which comic books do you prefer, Marvel or DC? Now, again, this is not maybe the highest caliber question, but at the same time, it would probably be on par with Chevy or Ford, or even if I wanted to lower it a little, maybe saying Walmart or Target. A question that is really important to some people, and to others, they could rather ignore it or pretend it didn't exist. I myself have always been a Marvel guy. I've always liked the Marvel comic books. But that being said, I would lie if I said I didn't like some of the DC characters. Characters like Superman or Batman. I've always loved Batman. Batman, a man filled with ironies, really. A man who wants law and order and gets it by breaking the law. A man who wants to live in a world that is filled with order, so he goes out at night, sundown to sunrise, in the midst of chaos, whose arch nemesis is a man of chaos, while he himself is a man of order. Everything has to make sense. Everything has to follow a reason or a logic. And we love Batman. We love to cheer him on or watch the movies, if you're into those kinds of movies. And yet the world that Batman lives in is truly one that is horrifying, if you really think about it. Horrifying. I mean, you think about it, where things have gotten so bad that even the cops are corrupt to the point that a man feels like he has to be the one that does the law and order. He has to be the one to fight crime. He has to go beyond himself, outside of his norm, outside of his means in order to accomplish this goal. It's a horrifying thought if you really think about it. Imagine if we lived in a world so flipped upside down, maybe not even in crime, but imagine you had a rocket scientist that felt that we just didn't have enough brain surgeons. Now, the rocket scientist is a very qualified individual, there's no doubt. He's very intelligent, but he's not qualified on how to do brain surgery. That's not his gift. He's a rocket scientist. He doesn't have that gift, or at least hype in this hypothetical situation. Imagine a world so torn upside down that people are doing outside of their means. Now, I know you might be thinking, well, Pastor Chris, are you saying that we should never explore anything and try anything new? No, that's not what I'm saying. Are you saying that if we are bad at something that we shouldn't never really do it again? Well, no, we should pick ourselves up and try again. But what if we have something that we're passionate about, we love, we're good at it, but then we decide we're just not going to do it, or we're going to do it badly on purpose? Imagine if you had the foremost expert in cancer research decide that they weren't going to do it because at 50 years old and 5'6", they never let him into the NBA. We might find ourselves going, well, that's a little odd. And as we dwell on this, and as we think more specifically, not so much about the world outside, but the church inside, how often have we seen people decide not to share their gifts with the church? Our demand that they'd be able to share their gifts, but only under certain points, only if they get to do certain things. Who knows the reasons? They can be different every single time. But at times there are people that will use the reason that they feel that the gift that they are gifted with is somehow inferior to some other gift. And they don't want that inferior gift. They want the bigger gift, the better gift. Ultimately, this is the issue that St. Paul is dealing with in the Corinthian text this morning. This is the issue that Paul is addressing as he writes to the church in Corinth. Corinth was a boom town. It was a boom town of trading. They had a lot of activity going on. They had a lot of stuff happening. And because of that, it truly did become a town of haves and have-nots. And Paul's already addressed this earlier in the letter, earlier in our text. Well, not our text, but in chapter 11 and chapter 10, dealing with those people holding it over them that have-nots. But here we also see it happening, in a sense, with spiritual gifts, where some people have different spiritual gifts, and they're holding it over the heads of others. And so others are refusing to give their spiritual gifts because, well, it's not like that one over there. If only the whole church could be like that. And so Paul uses this illustration of the body. How can you have a body that only has eyes? If everything is eyes, how are you going to hear? How are you going to smell? If you only have ears, who's going to see the way? You got to have hands. You got to have feet. You got to have all the parts of the body. All the spiritual gifts ultimately work to the good. Spiritual gifts should not cause division. And even as he lists out the spiritual gifts, he's saying all kinds of spiritual gifts. Some of them we have not seen since the time that the apostles died. So instead of moving forward, the spiritual gifts created division. It created a sense of inferiority among some, and ultimately in supremacy among others. In many of us, in many ways, we sometimes do the same thing even today. How many times have I been told that the pastoral office, for instance, is the highest, the best, the only church job, really, you can have? The only way to really volunteer at church is to be a pastor, but that's just not correct. It's just not true. How many of us have seen our roles within the church as somehow inferior to the roles of others? Are even insignificant when compared to others? How many of us even avoid getting involved in the church, assuming always that someone else will take on the task, that we are too busy or some other excuse? Each of those thoughts are wrong, and they are wrong for some of the reasons that Paul is talking about addressing here. No job within the church is somehow greater or lesser than the other. There is a difference to who can do them. It's true. Some of us are gifted in various areas. And some of us simply don't have the gifts that others have. That is all true. We were all created different. We were all created with different gifts, with different abilities. But yet, I love how Paul puts it. Yes, we were all created different. We were all created with different abilities and different gifts. But yet we were all baptized into the same Lord through the same Holy Spirit. Yes, all of our gifts have their place. They have their place within the church. And yet, we were all baptized into Christ Jesus. There is no inferiority or superiority. There is only Christ. For you see, all of our gifts, this is their goal. Their goal is not to bring us glory. Their goal is not for us to be superior or inferior. Their goal is to give glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who through the Holy Spirit has called us, enlightened us, that we can share the glory of the Lord, that we can ultimately work in giving glory to the Lord through our hands and through what we do, that we be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do such a great thing. That who knows, maybe as someone walks into our church and walks into our midst, that they too can see the glory of the Lord, that they too can receive what we have already received, that they can receive the forgiveness of their sins, that they can receive redemption through Christ Jesus and through His work. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.